NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden made a surprise appearance at a TED conference this past week, speaking from an undisclosed location through a remote-controlled video chatbot. Snowden assured the audience there will be more revelations of government secrets in the months ahead, and he said it's critical we understand the full scope of government surveillance.
Democracy may die behind closed doors, but we as individuals are born behind those same closed doors. And we don't have to give up our privacy to have good government. We don't have to give up our liberty to have security.
Snowden is in Russia on temporary asylum from the U.S., but he's made a couple of virtual appearances recently. Ben Weisner's been following all the twists and turns of this story. When he's not directing the ACLU's Speech, Privacy, and Technology Project, he doubles as Snowden's legal advisor. We reached him at his office in New York. Ben, you were moderating Edward Snowden's first public conversation at South by Southwest. What was the atmosphere in the room like when he was talking?
It was pretty remarkable. There were several thousand people in the room, and they, in fact, had two spillover rooms to accommodate those who couldn't fit in that room, and it was being live-streamed. I think that people were moved to actually see him there. You know, I think that people were quite interested to hear him speaking to an audience of his peers.
Yeah. There's something almost symbolically kind of sexy about what he did, at least for a tech audience, I would think. You know, here's one of the most hunted guys in the world who lives surrounded by layers and layers of encryption. And yet, look, the internet has made him free.
Yes, I think, you know, in particular, the robot that he rolled out in at TED is quite a disruptive technology. You know, it allows him to stand and have a one-on-one conversation with a camera at eye level, looking eye to eye with really anyone in the world, and to operate that from where he is. And I agree, there's something very, very, very powerful about that. You know, he shared the TED stage almost literally with Tim Berners-Lee, the father of the World Wide Web, the inventor of it. Here was the father, in a sense, talking to the son on a stage, and I think that it had a strong emotional impact for people.
So does this bother you at all? I mean, I know you're Snowden's legal advisor, but you can't get around the fact that he broke the law. He released classified documents. He's wanted by the U.S. government, and yet now he's kind of being treated as a tech folk hero.
You know, to me, and I say this unabashedly, what he did should be admired. He, acting through journalists, gave the public information that the public had a right to know and had a need to know.
Putting aside the question of his guilt, what do Edward Snowden's disclosures tell us about the state of privacy in the U.S. today?
Well, I think actually privacy might be too small a word for what these disclosures tell us, because the debate that has begun, that should have happened before these mass surveillance techniques were deployed and not after, is about mass surveillance and free societies. It is dangerous for one branch of government, and really one part of one branch of government, to have full information about the communications, contacts, associations of not just everyone in the country, but also the other branches of government, every member of Congress, every federal judge. I worry very much that if we give, right now it's the NSA, but this information will not be limited to the NSA. It will be the DEA, it will be the FBI, it will be your local police before long, who will have access to these data, mass databases of information.
Right. This is the argument that it's not Big Brother we should be worrying about, it's Little Brother?
Well, it's both. It is both. But I think that there has been a lot of concern across the country about what will happen when our local police are able to fly drones over our cities. You know, to me, the question of mass surveillance of our communications records is not so different. And in fact, it's not just communications records. We learned through some of these disclosures that the GCHQ, which is the British equivalent of NSA, is stealing webcam streams from Yahoo. So people who are recording themselves, maybe even in their bedrooms, using their webcams, this information is ending up in these kinds of databases.
Yeah. So presumably this is what Snowden is trying to wake up the tech community to. So at the moment, tech communities spend a lot of money trying to encrypt and secure our networks against, you know, foreign hackers and cyber criminals. Are they now going to try to design security and encryption to keep the U.S. government out?
Well, it's not really different. It's the same security that you need to use to protect data from an entity like the NSA and to protect it from China or from hackers. I think that they were operating under what technologists would call an outdated threat model. And when they learned what the NSA was doing that was actually weakening their own defenses. Already in the last 9 months, there have been tremendous adaptations by these tech companies to encrypt more data. Now, a company like Google is never going to fully encrypt end-to-end user data because Google is an advertising company. Google needs to its computers to be able to read our content in order to decide what advertisements to serve to us. But Google can do a lot more to ensure that the data is encrypted at other transit points.
So we're living in a world in which encryption is going to be everything, at least as a method of combating online surveillance. The problem, it seems to me, is that encryption tools are often only available to the people who have the means and, you know, the technological savvy to know how to use them. I mean, even Glenn Greenwald famously almost lost his scoop because he couldn't install encryption software on his computer before he connected with Snowden. And I guess I wonder, is online privacy, true online privacy, going to become a luxury?
I think we need to focus not so much on true privacy, but on bigger words like freedom. You know, it's not just a question of being able to live individual lives unobserved. Fundamentally, it's a question of how much power we want government and other large institutions to have vis-a-vis the people. Again, I think at an individual level, much of this is a losing proposition. But what we're really having a conversation about is, do we want our government to be able to collect and store all the information about all of our lives without good reason? Should they, just as a matter of course, be able to collect and store this? Now, they say nothing important is happening when they collect it and store it, that it's only important when they search it, that it doesn't matter what is sitting in their massive data warehouses, that it only becomes a legal concern when they look through it. I don't think that's true, but I mainly don't think that's true because I don't have any faith in their assurances that the rules that govern their access to that data today are going to be the rules that govern their access to it tomorrow. I think it's inevitable, and it's always happened in history, that information that's collected for one purpose will be used for many, many, many other purposes. And I think now is the time that we need to start getting this right before it's too late.
You know, listening to you, I realize that I walk around largely unconscious and unaware of most of this stuff. It doesn't occur to me that I would be watched in some way or another. Do you feel watched?
Watching is a relative term. If you knew when you walked through a park that there was a surveillance camera on every other tree, even if you didn't think that there was somebody sitting in a room watching the screen at all times, it would probably constrain your behavior. You would think about it before you held your lover's hand or exchanged a kiss. One of the concerns about a society in which everything is tracked and recorded is that even if no one is watching it right now, it's going to change the way we experience being a person in a free society. Again, I think drones are a powerful illustration of that. I think we all know that if drones were flying over our cities and towns and recording all public movements, we would be conscious of that kind of eye in the sky. We're much less conscious of it when it's in our pocket than when it's overhead. But I think that we do need to wake up to this, you know, before we wake up in a very different kind of society that we hadn't thought enough about.
Ben Wisner directs the ACLU's Speech, Privacy, and Technology Project, and he's Edward Snowden's legal advisor.